I do have two other announcements. Next week, we're going to begin our series here on Sundays with the book of Romans, for those of you that didn't know. So you can start reading ahead in Romans, and we're going to start going through that together, which will be great. And then I wanted to remind you, with family camp or any of our weekends that we do, what's become a tradition in our church is the deadline. We get about 50 to 75% of the registrations in on that day. It would be really helpful if you're able to register earlier to go ahead and do it. Once I get the information from Joy Lynn, I start putting the list together. And there's a lot of information that we've got to distribute to people, kids that are coming, things like that. I'm not saying, you know, we have a deadline for a reason. And if you're planning and getting your money together by the 26th, great, that's fine. But if you can, why not go ahead and do it? That would save Joy Lynn hours on that last day, putting all that stuff together, and would get some information to me a little earlier. Because the sooner I have the information, the sooner I can get a list to Dustin. Here's the kids that are coming, because that affects what they do. If there's 31-year-olds coming, they might want to know that a little earlier than, you know. So the sooner I get it, the sooner I can pass that info along. So just keep that in mind when you're registering for camp. It's another one of those love things, you know. If you're able to do, that would be great. Well, I want to thank Tom for the privilege of teaching God's word today. You know, that God would entrust his holy word to people is just amazing. It's always a privilege to be able to read his word and to be able to teach it to people like you that love him and love his word. It's a great honor and a privilege, and I'm very thankful for that. If you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms, we're going to go to Psalm 46 to start with today. It says in Psalm 46, I'm almost there. In verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. NIV says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever present help in trouble. He's always there. He doesn't ever leave us alone. That's by his choice. We'll read on a little bit further. Therefore, we will not fear. I got to get over to the King James, sorry. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled through the mountains, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He declares in his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. That just wasn't good for the Old Testament guys. That's good for us too. And let's look at a couple of records where God declares this to his people, because I think it's sometimes we know we have everything we need in Christ, and that's true. But God also is our Father and wants a relationship with us and wants to be that help to us. You know, the psalmist declared, God is our help. But is he my help? Is he our help? Are we going to him for the help that he wants to give? And he's only a very present help in trouble. At other times, he's not a help at all. No. And you know what? I figure I'm always in trouble. When I look at what he's called us to, what he's made us to be in Christ, what he's asking of us to do, I'm always in trouble. I always need this help. How about you? You know, to walk in this new nature, to do it. He says we can do. Oh, yeah. On bended knee all the time is where we should be. You know, we need his help at all times. Did I tell you where to go? Oh, I know where I'm going. Deuteronomy 31, please. We'll look at a record where God is talking to Moses. Or Moses is talking to Joshua, actually. Because there's a reason God has these things recorded in his word for us, too. Not just for Joshua, where those words spoken, but then God had these words written down so you and I could read them to see what a wonderful, faithful God he is. In chapter 31 and verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You know, but we don't face enemies like that, armies like that, so we're never afraid. No, I read in God's word, you've been equipped with my spirit, and you can operate these manifestations. Sometimes I get afraid. Me? Do that? No, it's not just these Old Testament guys that had to deal with things. You know, their enemies might have been right there in their face with swords and stuff, but still, we have an enemy who doesn't want us to live for God too, just like he didn't want them to live for God. Verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." He says it over and over again, you know. That's true of us, though. He declares that he's our Father, that he's always with us, that he's an ever-present help to us. He won't leave or forsake his children. He wouldn't do it to his servants. He certainly isn't going to do it to his sons. You know, he didn't just send the ultimate help, Christ, and say, "You're on your own, figure it out." You know, I know we heard of manifestations. Everything we need is in Christ. You know, you might say that of a baby that's born, pretty much. They're born and they have everything they need to grow and live. So we just leave them to themselves to figure that out. No, neither does our God, you know. Even once your child's old enough and knows where how to open the fridge and get his own food, we don't just leave them to themselves to figure out this life, you know. Especially as Christian parents, we want to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of God, not just, you know, to exist. Well, God wants his children to grow up too, and he can be a help to them. He wants to be our help. He wants to direct us. He wants to help us. He won't forsake us. Yeah, we do need to believe what's ours in Christ. Absolutely. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I read what I am, what God has now made me to be, and I can see the words on a page. I can read that I am equipped with the power that raised Christ from the dead. And in my heart I say, yeah, but I don't quite get that. Help me. Teach me. Show me. Open the eyes of my heart so I can believe this. And God says, no, I gave it to you. You're on your own now. No, see, God is our Father. He wants to help us grow. Yeah, we need to reckon it so. Absolutely. But you know who will be there to help you reckon it so? If you're humble to him, he will help you grow. He will teach you how to live for him. He wants to be that to his people. Turn to 1 Chronicles, please. I'm already way ahead in my teaching, but that's okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. This is the record of David talking to Solomon. And once again, it's in here for us as well. And David said to Solomon, his son, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." The same is true for you and I. God has promised that he won't leave us or forsake us. Now, we don't have to build a temple, a physical temple, but we're building something else, right? And it's all up to us to figure out how to do it. No. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And he wants to help us do this. Hebrews chapter 13. God is faithful. Through the ages, he was faithful to help the Old Testament believers. And he declared unto them he wouldn't leave them or forsake them. In Hebrews 13. verse 5. Let your conversation or your behavior be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That word content, it's the same word Mike went last week to, made reference to 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul is going to God for help. And God's answer is several times, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient is the same word as content. And boy, if there's a people that ought to be sufficient and content with what God has done for them, it's us. He gave his only begotten Son. He filled us with Holy Spirit. We have his word. You know, we have everything we need, it's true. We don't always believe what we have. And that's where we need his help to do it. You know, we can't do this on our own. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, we are complete in Christ. We have all that we're going to need in Christ. And we have a God that will never leave us and forsake us. Content? Yeah. Yeah, what more could man want? Well, man can come up with a lot of things. What more could the born-again one want? Knowing those truths, that we have everything we're ever going to need, that we're equipped to do what God's called us to do. And he won't leave us or forsake us. He wants to be right there with us, helping us. And we still need his help. Even though Christ has been sacrificed and we have what we need in Christ, we need God's help to live this life, to grow the way he wants us to grow. Turn to Jeremiah 17, please. In the Old Testament, when God never forsook them, but they weren't always right there by God. They many times did forsake God. And then his hands were somewhat limited to what he can do. It's no different today. God says he'll never leave me or forsake me. But if I don't look to him for help, if I don't acknowledge that he's a reality in my life and stay humble to him, he is a little bit limited as to what he can do for me, you know. We can be like a two-year-old that says, I can do it. I do it. I do it. I do it. You ever been around a little kid? They're just insistent that they can do it. Sometimes we get like that. I got it. But no, if we want his help, we have to be humble to him and go to him for his help. You know, I haven't figured out how to walk for God the way he wants me to. I don't know about you. No, we have to stay humble. But sometimes, just like a man without Christ, we think we're right. And we think we've got it figured out. And at that point in time, God is somewhat limited to what he can do for us. You know, the Pharisees didn't need to be healed. What was it? They didn't think they needed help. They didn't need a physician. Well, we can be like that with God too, but we don't want to be, you know. And the Old Testament believers, we'll look at a few records of them, at times decided they had it figured out. Jeremiah 17, and the end result was this. Verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel. O Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. It was true of Israel. When they chose to forsake God, they were ashamed. They didn't do so well. Just because I'm equipped with Holy Spirit and I have his word, if I leave God out of the picture in my life, I'm not going to be walking in his ways. Isaiah chapter 31, please. We still need to trust in this living God. We still need to come before him on bended knee to live the life he's called us to do. You know. When there's countless records of where man went to God for help and God provided help, and it was always in the way that the man had figured it out. No, we've got to remember who this God is. He's the one who set the stars in their place. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is God, and he has ways of helping that I can't even come up with. Surprising, I know. That we can't come up with, you know. I wouldn't have figured out to part the Red Sea to help the Israelites escape, you know. Some of the things he did, send ravens to feed the man. No. So just because we're born again and have Christ now, why would we ever think that we go to God for help, but we've already figured out the help we think we need. We've already figured out his answer. No, let's let God be God. Let's let him provide the help that we need that we don't even know we need. Maybe it's going to be a raven. Maybe it's going to be, I don't know. That's God's job, not my job. You know, sometimes when I try to figure it out, probably all the time when I try to figure it out, I just go in circles and I get tied up in knots. And when I finally go, oh, I can't figure this out, God. I need your help. And then he provides answers that I could never figure out. Amazing. He's God. He knows what he's doing. It would behoove us to be that way all the time. Isaiah 31 in verse 1, it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Not a good idea to go to Egypt for help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots. Because they're many. And in horsemen. Because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. So you get the point? It's not a good idea to rely on anybody else besides God. Now, I'm not saying if, you know, we don't always rise up to believe all that's ours in Christ. I've gone to a doctor before. Surprising. But you know what? I can go to a doctor and still be trusting in who? God. You know, I can seek help from you, but I'm still trusting that God is working in this person to help me. I can go to his word and not get a darn thing out of it. Or I can go to his word trusting that he's going to give me answers. There's got to be a humbleness and expectation from this God to provide. When man trusts in man, he fails. When I trust in myself, I fail. When I trust in others, I fail. But when I trust in God, maybe while I'm going to others, I'm not being critical of that. But let's remember who we're trusting in when we get that help besides going to God. That we're still trusting in God. You know, God, you know, there's times where I just have fallen short. I fell on the ice a number of years ago, hurt my knee. And I was going to trust God. For a year, I endeavored to trust God. And that knee still hurt. And I went, oh, I'm not trusting you, obviously. I haven't quite gotten the bigger picture here of what's mine in Christ. You know, and I put up with the pain. I could still walk. I didn't have a broken leg. You know, and so I finally went for help. And I got help from a doctor. But do you know where I put my trust in? God, when I went to that guy. I mean, I've heard stories. They operate on the wrong leg sometimes. They do, don't they? Use markers now, you know. You know, I had a lazy eye, and they marked which eye I wanted to have corrected. That's kind of scary to me, okay? You don't remember? But there again, we still can trust in God where we're going to that help. And you know what? Okay, God, teach me and show me now. I want to see this bigger. I'm not there yet, but help me. And he does. I fell on the ice again, and I broke my ankle. It was like 6 in the morning. In front of our house on Broadway, where now the Buckinghams live. And it was snowing like crazy. And I'm laying there. I mean, I heard the whole thing snap. I mean, it was broken. There was no doubt about it. And I'm laying there praying. And then I just started laughing. Because they found her hours later covered in snow. This vision in my head. You know, and where we, if you haven't been to that house on Broadway, there's nobody else around there on the weekends. There's businesses around. So you can yell all you want. No one's going to hear you. And I knew our bedroom in the house was the very back bedroom. I could yell all I want, and Tom wouldn't have heard me. So I went, okay, God, I have a choice here, don't I? And I went to him for help, and he delivered me, and my ankle was healed. Why can't I do that all the time? I don't know. But let's keep going to God. Let's let him teach us and show us his ways. You know, another time, I'm just going through some things. Another time I was pretty sick, and I had some things I was dealing with, and I was frustrated, and I came to fellowship, and I said, God, you know, just help me. Help me to believe you, your word today. You know, great. I wasn't even thinking about being sick at that time. It's just something I'd been dealing with. And Roger Thompson was up here teaching. I can't even tell you what he taught, but I was praying, and he was trying to communicate something. It was so clear that God had shown him something. And he was just, he was getting red trying to communicate. Is Roger in here? No. Anyway. And I was praying, God, show me what you showed him. I want to know what you showed him. And he did. Like I said, I don't remember what it was, but I was healed top to bottom. I mean, I felt God heal me. I couldn't have figured out that kind of help. Do you understand? We just go to him. He's God. He'll figure out how to help and deliver his people. He's a big God. He wants to help us. When we go to man, when we rely on our own senses to provide the help, we fail time and time again. But we can go to this God. He loves us. He's our Father now. He wants to help us. Whether it's sickness is what I brought up, but ever need help in any other area? Do we finish verse 3? Okay, go to Lamentations, please. And I don't, you know, I don't like giving examples. I just really focus on that I was weak and God provided. That's really my point in those examples totally, is that, you know, this is a God who wants to help his children. And we all need his help. Lamentations chapter 4. In verse 17, as for us, you're still finding Lamentations. That's okay. I cheated. I have it typed up here. But chapter 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. Should I read that? Did I type it right? Okay. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. You know, we can be like that too. We can be looking for the help that we've already figured out that we think we need. And we miss what God wants to provide. Let's not be looking to what we've figured out. Let's be looking to this living God who is able to help us. Psalm 60, please. Get your fingers flipping today. It's not an aerobic workout, though. It doesn't count, guys. Give us help from trouble. Verse 11, sorry. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. It doesn't do any good. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. There has to be an awareness that we need his help and a humbleness to go to him for help, first of all. He's a refuge and a strength. He's a very present help in trouble. He's ever present. But if man doesn't choose to go to him, whether he's born again and first goes to him and realizes, I need a Savior, I'm messed up, and God provided Christ, or whether it's us that are born again, that have believed on Christ, being humble and going to him, realizing we still need his help. We don't have it all figured out. We need his direction. We need his guidance. We need his wisdom. We need his help. Sometimes we need his help to believe what his word says, and he wants to provide that help for us. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please. We'll go to the New Testament a little bit. in chapter 4. I could read this whole chapter, but I won't. We'll just go to a couple verses. In verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." I want to just go through these words a little bit with you. We are troubled on every side. And troubled is one of the dictionary definitions of it, Bible dictionaries, was to press as grapes or to compress. So he says, we're troubled on every side, being pressed as grapes on every side, yet not distressed. And that word distressed is to cramp or hem in. How is that possible? I'm being pressed on all sides, but I'm not crowded, I'm not cramped. We are perplexed, and that means to have no way out or to be at a loss. We have no way to, we're at a loss. There's no way out of this situation. There's no way out. Yet not in, but not in despair. Despair is to be utterly at a loss, to be utterly destitute of measures or resources, to renounce all hope, to be in despair. So we are pressed down on every side, yet we're not cramped. We have no way out, or we're at a loss, yet we're not at a total loss. We're not without hope. We're not without resources. Persecuted but not forsaken, pursued but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. How can a man make this statement? This was Paul and company. This is who it's referring to. You know, it doesn't mean as God's children we'll never have situations where we are troubled. But they could say they were pressed on all sides, but not crowded. You know, no way out, but not being at a total loss. That doesn't commute to, you know, doesn't, what's the word I want? Compute, there we go. I know, so commute is like going for a ride. But anyway, it doesn't make sense to man without God. You know, now the greater context of this section is they're looking at the things that aren't seen, the things that are internal, that are eternal. And that, you know, certainly for those of us who have believed on Christ, we have a hope. We know, even if I mess up in this life, even if I die, what's coming? I have eternal life. I'm going to live with God forever. I can't mess that up. That can be encouraging. But even in their situations that they went through, and if you want to, you look back in Acts at some of what they were going through in Macedonia and stuff. Yeah, they were being pursued. They were being pressed on all sides. They were like, you know, people were trying to kill them. And yet they weren't freaked out. They weren't in despair. They were trusting in God. They were looking to this God. And he was able to help and to deliver. These are New Testament guys, not just the Old Testament guys. This is you and I. We can have that in our lives. It doesn't matter what situation, what's going on in our lives. We have a God we can trust in. We have a refuge like no other. God declares that of himself. He is that for us. You know. If it's pouring rain outside and the door's open, you go in so you don't get soaked. Unless you're a little kid and got your rain boots on and want to be out there splashing. But it's a refuge from the rain. You know, in the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge where God's people could go so they wouldn't be killed. But if they chose not to go to those cities, they weren't guaranteed that protection, that help. It's true of us too. Yeah, we're God's, and nothing can change that we're going to be gathered together and be with our God and our Lord forever. Nothing can change that. But in this life, if I choose not to seek his help, to not trust in him, he is limited as to what he can do for me. It's a real simple thing. He's well able to help us, and he wants to help us. Go back to Psalm 46. Please. And you know, honestly, you know, we read about Paul and those guys. We're guaranteed that if we're going to live for God and preach Christ in this world, there are going to be those that want to trouble us. And we're assured that there's a day coming when they're going to be troubled. But while we're living in this life, living for God, preaching Christ, and we're troubled, we can either let that stop us, which is what our adversary would like, or we can look to this God that Psalm 46 declares. God is our refuge, verse 1 again, and strength, a very present help in trouble. Is he that to us? He can be. He wants to be. Let's look at a few more places in Psalms where it talks about God being a wonderful refuge and a help to his people. Psalm 62. In verse 5. We read, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He's talking to his soul. Sometimes we got to talk to our soul. Hey, soul, get your mind away from that. Wait thou only on this God. You know, he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's a fact. That's truth. But it can be possible for it not to be true for me. I've been there. I've made myself my own refuge, and it didn't work very well, you know. God wants his people to have us trust him, to have him be our refuge, our strength, our source for living this life. Psalm 91. First two words are very vital in this verse. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. We have freedom of will. The psalmist declared, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He can be that for us as well. We have to will it, though. We have to want it. We have to be humble to this God and turn to him and trust him. Psalm 17, please. In verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Does he hear us? Oh, yeah, in Christ, we have that access, totally paid. Whoa. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. We know that he does. He's declared that in his word. Once again, there's a free will here. I have called upon. Are we calling upon him? Or are we just thinking about it? Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. See, God is able to care for us and to help us. He wants to. Psalm 142. You getting tired of these yet? Psalm 142. We aren't going to read all the psalms. We could, but not today. Psalm 142. You know, and I'm amazed when I read the Psalms and realize that, you know, whether it was David or someone else that wrote the Psalms, that They didn't have what I have, and yet this is what they declare God was to them. How much more should we as his children declare this of our God? He's the same God. He's the same God. Do I wake up each morning and think, God, you're my refuge today. You're my help today. What can I do? You know, I should be. I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm thinking about how tired I am and how my bones are creaking or, you know, the dog's barking or whatever, you know. But, man, we are so blessed in Christ. Absolutely. But this ought to be the cry far greater of every born-again one. God, you're my all in all. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You're my wisdom. You're my, you know, keep going. The list ought to keep going. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 142. And, it, you know, if you're not confident that he can be that for you, then you should just give up and not try. No. Go to him for help. Psalm 142 and verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. What? You're negative in front of God? You know, it's okay to pour out your heart before God, to be honest before him. You know, I don't like the way my life's going. I need some help, God. I don't get it yet. Help me. Teach me. I showed before him my trouble. Because God couldn't see his trouble. I think it was more for his life and heart that he poured it out before God. You understand? When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever felt all alone? You're not. He said he wouldn't leave you or forsake you. I cried unto thee, O Lord. Good job. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You know. His life wasn't a bowl of cherries. Everything wasn't going great, but he knew where to go for help. He decided he'd pour out the complaints, show God his trouble, and he was helped. God heard him, you know. God will do the same for his children and more. Turn to Proverbs, please, chapter 14. Verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You know, we remember who this God is, and we stand before him. Wow, you're God. You're amazing. In that kind of fear, in that kind of reverence, that kind of awe is strong confidence. And his children, that's me and you, shall have a place of refuge. This is what God declares. Turn to Psalm 1, please. So God has shown us in his word that he is our refuge. He can be that for us. But we could be like the children of Israel who chose not to go to that refuge. We cannot run to the city of refuge. Or we can, you know. It's up to us. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, free will is involved. You know, I can choose to try and figure life out on my own, to try and walk for God with my wisdom that I have from his word already, or I can stay humble. I can choose to go to Him, to go to His Word, to daily put off things and put on the right stuff. And He says, I'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. I'll grow roots and I'll grow up. If I choose not to do that, how much I grow is limited. It's stunted. If a tree doesn't get water, eventually what happens? It dies. Now, we know our eternal life is covered, but what about this life? You know, we want to stay right next to that water. And God says He's the fountain of living water. We want to stay right next and go to Him. Have Him be our strength, our refuge, our help. And like I said before, you can read those words and you can go to God and still go, I don't know if I'm getting any help. I read your word and I see what I am now and I'm not getting it. But remember, God will help you. God will teach you. He will show you. Psalm 25. He wants to teach us. He wants to help us. He's our Father. He loves us. He didn't just give us everything we needed in Christ and say, figure it out. No, He's right there with us. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. Psalm 20, what is it, 25? Let's read in verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. That can be our cry as well. Teach me and show me, God. Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. I got in. He wants to teach us. Do you get it? He wants to. You don't have to figure this out yourself. Verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment. And the meek will He teach His way. There's a key word in there. Meek. Are we humble to this God? Are we going to Him to teach us, to guide us, to teach us His ways? Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. See, God will teach us His ways. God will show us. God will enlighten the eyes of our heart. And we need Him to be able to live for Him. Psalm 32. We'll start in verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. I love that, you know. I think of when I was a kid, we had a hall closet that, it's one of those closets that has it must have been over stairs or something. I didn't pay attention, but it must have been because it had one ledge and then it went way back and went up, but you could get in here and get in the very back and you could hide from everybody, and we would do that frequently. But you know, I'd go in there sometimes and just sit. No one could find me. It was quiet. But God says here, you know, the psalmist says here, you're my hiding place. You know, that's the place you go to. We can go to. He wants us to. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Maybe He'll even send angels. I don't know. That's God's business, right? There's times in the Bible where He sent an angel to help, you know. Like I said, we don't figure out how the help comes. We go to this God who's able to help. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. See, he says, don't be like the horse that you got to put a bit in and lead him around. This going to God, wanting to have His help and have Him teach us and show us, is up to us. He will teach us. He will show us. He will direct us. He will show us our paths. But He's not going to put a bit in your mouth and make you do it. Sometimes I wish He would, but I'm not God. There again. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord mercy shall compass him about. It's a good thing we need his grace and mercy, and he has given it richly. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. It's not a complicated thing I'm communicating here. But once again, it's by our choice. You know? Just like when you're preaching Christ, if a man doesn't think he needs him, if he doesn't want to listen, can the salvation be his? No. It could be. But if he refuses to hear about Jesus Christ and what God wrought in him for his life, he doesn't receive the benefit. It's great to read that God is great, he's powerful, he's a refuge, he's a help, he's a strength, that he's all those things. But if I don't choose to go to him, he's not that for me. But we can. That's the great thing about it. At every day, we can go to him for help. You're faced with a situation where you're afraid. You're afraid to do what you know he wants you to do, maybe. So just chicken out and don't do it. That's okay. He doesn't mind. It's true. He doesn't mind. He loves you, okay? Your eternal life is secure. But wouldn't it be better when I'm afraid in those situations to cry out to this God? God, I'm afraid. Help me. Show me. And he'll say, yeah. And he'll help you. And he'll show you. And he'll be there for you. He's faithful. He's proven it time and time again in his word and in your life, probably, I would venture to say, most of you. He wants to help us live for him. Do you get it? He wants to. You don't have to figure it out yourself. You know, sometimes the emphasis gets so much on us and believing his word. Well, that's great. That is true. I should hide his word in my heart and I should reckon it so. But he'll help me to do that in those areas where I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not Jesus Christ yet. Neither are you. We all can grow. And God will help us. Turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the cool thing, too. We humble ourselves, we get his help, and who gets glorified? He does. I think that's so cool. Where did I leave off? Okay, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, it doesn't matter what we're facing, we can go to this God and he will be there for us. He will help us. And you know, those of us that have believed on Christ, we have an even greater help today than they had, than this psalmist had, you know. Turn to John 14, please. Because really, when you look at the Old Testament believers sometimes and you read about the miracles that God did for them, and then you remember that most of them didn't have his spirit. Most of them kind of rejected God a lot of the time, turned away from him a lot of the time. And yet he did so many wonderful things for them, you know. And then here we are, righteous because of Christ, pure in his sight, loved in his sight. Nothing is going to take that away. My sin no longer counts to take it away from me. I can't mess this up. And yet sometimes we hesitate to go to him for help. That doesn't quite make sense. The same God declares he wants to be our help, our refuge, our strength. And John 14, verse 26, like I said, we have an even greater help. We have a spirit that inclines us to want his help. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said with it, unto you. You know, those of us who have believed on Christ now have his spirit. And that spirit inclines us to God, I mean, to want to live for him. But it also can teach us and show us. God can work in us like he couldn't work for them. He can teach and show us in ways that he couldn't with them. Yeah, for those that have the Spirit upon them, perhaps, but not like he can with all of us. You know, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have something they didn't have to help us as well. You know, turn to Hebrews, please, chapter 4. In verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a choice we can each make, to come boldly to his throne of grace. Mike taught on grace last week. That's in there. Let's close by going back to Psalm 46, please. We have, you know, we now have the right to go before that throne of God to find help when we need it. And like I said, I kind of figured all the time fits that category for me. I don't know how to live for him. I don't know how to walk in this new nature the way he's called me to without him helping me figure it out. And he will. He will. We can choose to be ones, to be children that are humble and realize everything we have is by your grace and mercy, God. And we come to him with humbleness and meekness and say, teach us how to live for you, because we can't figure this out on our own. We can walk humbly with God and he will teach us and show us and help us, because he loves us. He wants to, you know. Psalm 46, then we can be like the psalmist in what we declare. Individually and together, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. I'm going to pray with you, okay? Heavenly Father, you are such an amazing God. Your power is limitless. Your love is beyond our comprehension. Help us to truly be meek to you. Humble ourselves before you, Father, so that you can be the God you declare you are, so that you can be our refuge, our strength, and our help all the time. Father, thank you for your faithfulness, that you're always with us, that you never leave us, that you truly are an ever-present help to your children, because of your great love and mercy and grace. And we praise you and we thank you for all you are and all you've done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless. Thanks, Danny. What are we going to close with?
We're going to close with number 64. Jesus is all the world to me. It's a lot to think about today, so please take the time you need to chew on this. This is a teaching we could hear every day, so we need it every day. Jesus is all the world to me. bless. Remember that you are the light, so let it shine.